We are holding on Lama to download on the base about 20 or so lines from the bottom line against Audit. Okay. We mentioned yesterday, we had our mission had said that Dinim Ominous, you're allowed to begin the case by day, and you're allowed to finish it off and give it sacked in by night, as opposed to Dinim Nefashis, where the whole thing has to be done by day. And we discussed that Rabbi Meir would disagree with that. Rabbi Meir would say even Dinim Ominous, the whole thing has to be accomplished during the day. We said Rabbi Meir gets that from a Hekish at the end of this week's parasha. I had already think. I guess Rabbi Meir gets that from a Hekish at the end of this week's parasha between Rivim and Negoyim, between Dinim Ominous, Rivim, argument, and Negoyim, Saras. Just like Saras has to be looked at by day, so also Rivim, the entire thing has to be done by day. And he learned various other details from that also, including that just that Saras, the Kohen, has to have sight in both eyes, so also to be a Dayan on a Din Torah thing. Okay. We said on the other hand, the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Meir and who are Stam Mishnahs like them say that no, you're able to finish off Dinim Ominous by night on the grounds that the Pasuk says Shafru'as on B'cholayt. They can judge the people at all times, meaning by night also.
But this is not Ham. This is
Ha'am. This is the people. Two people among the two. This is the Dayanim are judging. Yeah, the Dayanim are judging. Two of the people. Yeah. So the question is, would a Meir have Shafru'as on B'cholayt? My Darish case. What is Reb Meir doing with the Pasuk Veshavdu'as on B'cholayt? The Rabbanon are using it to say that you can finish off the Din Torah by night. What's Reb Meir doing with it? Amar Rava le'isuya yom ha'mu'una. Rava says, Reb Meir would say that Pasuk comes to teach us that you're allowed to do a Din Torah on a cloudy day. Now, why should you think that not? If he makes a hekesh between Negoyim and Rivim, then that's why not. The Tznan, as we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Negoyim, Ein Royinus and Negoyim Shachos Ebein Abayim, you're not allowed to look at Negoyim in the early morning or the late afternoon, below the Soch Abayis, or inside the house, below the Yom HaMa'unan, or on a cloudy day, because in all those, Nefesh HaKeah near Aza. Because at all those times, or in all those places, even a duller white spot will look bright white, and then he'll think that it's Saras. If Rameir holds of a hekesh between Rivim and Negoyim, maybe it would be Xeris HaKosev. You can't do a Din Torah on a cloudy day. Yeah. Okay. The Loiva Sardine.
You don't have to.
Yeah. The Loiva Sardine.
Yeah. For sure not.
The Bash does not. The Loiva Sardine. Also, a mayor says you can't do it in the very middle of the day. If Nishan Asha'aza nearest Kaya. Because then you have the other way around. Then even a bright spot is going to look duller because it's going to fade out in the bright light. And then you'll think that it's not Saras when it really is. So he says you can only check it like in the mid-morning or mid-afternoon, whatever the point is, that we shouldn't think the same thing is true as far as Dinim. And that's what Meir says. You learn that from the Pasuk Veshavdu Asam B'Cholayt. Anytime, but as long as it's during the day.
Because
again, he's saying, I agree the Pasuk says Veshavdu Asam B'Cholayt. That has to mean more than just the limited amount of time that you can do Negoyim, but not to say that you can do it by night. That's what Chacham is saying. For that, you have the hekesh of Rivim to Negoyim to say that Rivim has to be done by day, and so that Negoyim has to be done by day, and therefore so are Rivim. Okay.
Ace means a small amount of time.
No, B'chol Ace means at all times, but right. Still, it means at all times, only limited by what the hekesh tells us, which is that it's during the day. Okay. Next, we have to ask with a Meir Hai B'yom Hanchile Es Bon of my Ovid. We said the Chachamim brought two psukim in this connection. One was V'shof Kvasam B'chol Ace, from which they learned that the Din Torah can be finished by night. And the other one was the Yom Hanchile Es Bonav, from which we learned that the beginning of the Din Torah has to be by day. What is Reb Meir doing with that pasuk? The answer is, he uses it for the following limud that Rav Bachanina taught in front of Reb Nachman. We learned this in Rav Basra as well. When the pasuk says, when it says that it will be on the day when he begins to his children, implies by Yom Atamachal Nachlois, Viatamachal Nachlois Valaila. That implies only by day can nachlos, can inheritance be divided, but not by night. The point is he's saying you don't need the word v'hoyah b'yom hanchilei esbonav to teach us that you can only do them by day because you know that anyway because rivim l'negoyim. He says that there's a specific din which we're going to learn as far as Yerusha, which only applies by day. So wait, we have to first figure out what that din is. So Rabbi Bachanina starts by saying, as a blanket statement, you can only accomplish Nachlis by day, not by night. Amalei, so Rabbi Nachman asks him, what does that mean? Elamei after, or Amalei Abaya, or Agosabach changes it to, so Abaya argues, Elamei after, what do you mean? By that logic, you're saying that you can only do Nachlis by day, not by night. What, they can only inherit by day, not by night? So what are you telling me? Only if a person dies during the day can his children inherit him, can his sons inherit him. If he dies by night, then his sons don't inherit him. That's obviously it can't be.
Why? Do,
because there's no havam in it to say that. You never find any place. There's no such halacha that a person dies by night, then his yerusha doesn't go to his children. Duma din nachlas kamrit. Maybe Rav Nachman or Abaya tells him maybe what you mean is not the actual nachla itself, but the din of nachlas. Namely, the Tanya, as we learn in a brayso, of a hoysel of an eisur l'chukas mishpat. When the pasuk finishes after it describes the various people who inherit a person, his various relatives. And it finishes off the hoysel of Bnei Yisrael l'chukas mishpat. This shall be for Bnei Yisrael as a statute, a choik of judgment, by saying the word mishpat, ora kol parsha kula lias din. That means the pasuk is summarizing or finishing off that the whole parsha is considered a din. Is considered that the concept of nachla is considered dinim ominous in the sense that when you have a situation where the person says before he dies who he wants his nachla to go to, that is considered a din. That itself is considered dinim ominous. Tosfos point, it's a din in the sense of dinim ominous, in other words, meaning it has to be done by day.
It's not a mishpat.
But that's what it is. We're comparing it, by using the word mishpat, we're comparing it to a mishpat, meaning a judgment of dinim ominous. Now, Tosfos points out, we're not just talking about the ordinary concept of matnas shchivra, because that whole concept only applies to Rabbanon. We have to be talking about when he made a kinyan, because that way it's valid on a deraisa level. Here we're talking on a
kinyan it has to be with a kinyan.
If he's going to decide who gets what, and he makes a kinyan on it, then it's valid midaraisa. Then that's valid midaraisa, but it has to be done by day. Namely, that's what we're going to say. Kidur Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Namely, this is like Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. If three people came to visit a sick person, and he wants to say what he wants done with his various possessions and all, if they want, they're able to write down as edus that we heard the shchiv merah saying such and such, and then the yorshim will take that paper to Beis Din, and Beis Din will follow it. They can write it as edim rotsu oisin din, or if they want. They being three, they can actually just sit down as dayanim themselves and make it official that we're gonna now give this particular thing to this one, that particular thing to that one, according to what we heard. On the other hand, shnayim, but if it's only two of them, koisvin ven oisin din, then they can only write it as edim. They can't make a din because you can't have two dayanim. There, Amar Rav Chista, and Rav Chista says a further detail on that. It's not just good enough to have three of them. Lo shanu ela bayoyim. This that we're saying, that if there's three of them, they can act as dayanim right there on the spot, is only if they were there visiting the chola and he gave them the instructions by day. Alba laila, but if it was by night, even though there's three of them, nighttime, as we just said, is not a suitable time for a din Torah. Therefore, koisvin vein oisin din. They can only write it. They cannot. They can only write it as edim. They cannot be dayanim. Vein oisin din. They cannot sit as a beis din. Because mishum dehavelu edim, because at that point they are edim, because they couldn't have sat as a beis din. Rashi says over here the vote is that they weren't able to sit as dayanim because they were by night, and dayanim don't sit at night. Some of the other mefarshim, we learned about this in Baba Basra. Some of the other rishonim over there explain that the vote is rather you can't do kabbalas edus. You can't. I think the Rashbam over there says you can't do kabbalas edus by night. Whatever the case, the point is, therefore, all they can do is write down their edus, and now they can. That makes them only edim. The ain ed not a dayan, and the din that an ed cannot become a dayan. So therefore, they can't turn around the next morning and sit as dayanim on this. Omalei ein. So in answer to that, again, Rav Bachanina, we started this, that Rav Bachanina brought a braisa that said that by yoyim at the mapul machlois, but not by laila. So he asked him, what does that mean? Do you mean if a person dies by night, his children don't inherit? Maybe what you mean is this din. And Rav Bachanina says, yes, that's what the braisa I was quoting meant. Not to say that children can't inherit from their parent who died by night, but to say this particular din that we're saying, that the three people visiting can become a beis din, would not apply at night. So therefore, Reb Meir uses the words v'hoya b'yom hanchileas bono to teach us that din. That it applies specifically to this specific concept that you can have three of them considered edim or dayanim, but only by day, not by night. He learns that from this word v'hoya b'yom hanchileas bono. as opposed to the Rabbanon, say it has a more general application. That's the word where teaches us that dinim momenus have to be begun by day. On the other hand, they can be finished by night because we're shopped with Ambacholot. Whereas Rav Meir says that teaches us a specific din when it comes to Yerusha. And v'shaftu asa ambacholais means that they can judge dinim momenus even on a cloudy day, even though you wouldn't be able to do that with Negoy. So that's that then. So we have the basis for a mayor's opinion, and we have the basis for the chachamim's opinion. The halacha is like a chachamim, dinim momenus can be begun by day and finished by night. There are some of the Rishonim who talk about an idea, I think it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, although I don't remember if it's brought lahalacha, that if the key thing is, the key thing is really whether you can see or not, and therefore if the based in shtibble is illuminated with enough candles, then you could even do a din Torah by night. I'm not sure if that's accepted. I don't remember if that's accepted lahalacha, though. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, dinin nefashah is done in by yom. We said dinin nefashah have to be judged, the whole thing, the maso matan, the discussion back and forth between the dayanim, as well as the final verdict, all have to be done by day. The menahanim really, where do we know that from? Amar Shimi bar Chiya, Amar Kra, because you have a pasuk that says at the end of Parshas Balak, when you have the people over there are going and worshipping Baal Peor, so the Eibishter tells Moshe, take all the heads of the people, and hoika them up. We'll see in a second what hoika means on the next line, that hoika them to Hashem in front of the sun. So the expression in front of the sun implies that it has to be by day. So therefore, the Gemar Din, the point is that the Gemar Din and some of the Mephoroshim say the vote is, we learn it from the fact that since we mentioned Tachas called Rosh Ha'am, implies that the actual Din Torah takes place Negad HaShemesh, because that's what the Rosh Ha'am are doing, as the Gemara is going to say on the top of the next Amud, the Rosh Ha'am are not the ones getting punished, they're the ones who are sitting as Bate Dinim. So they have to do that Negad HaShemesh, in front of the sun, meaning during the daytime. Some of the other, I think the Meiri brings, that the vote is, since we said, we learned before, and we're going to learn later on, that the verdict has to be, that the punishment has to be carried out as soon as possible after the verdict, then if we're saying the punishment, the behoika, which is the Gemara is going to say on the next line, means hanging them, has to be done by day, then the verdict also has to be reached by day, so that they can be one right next to the other. How b'chlal do we know that the word hoika means hanging? And by the way, you know, we're gonna learn when we get to the sixth parak. We know the dalad misses based in hanging is not one of them. What it is you have the one of the dalad misses based in skila, and you have a machloikas tanoim over there, whether kolon is stolen mitlin, whether anybody who gets skila afterwards their body is hanged for a short while, or whether it only applies to certain categories, only Megadef and Ovid Avodah Zarah, that's the halacha. Be that as it may, Ovid Avodah Zarah gets skila, and afterwards their body is hanged up for a short period of time. So that's until right before Shkia, and then they take it down. That's the vahoika that we're talking about over here. So how do we know that?
The literal meaning
of hoika is to hang, as the Gemara is saying.
You can apply it just to a body or to
other? Yeah, to a body, yeah. Dichtiv, and we get that as follows, because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk describes, you have the story over there where the Givonim are angry at Shaul because he cut off their livelihood when he wiped out the Kohanim of Noib, and then some of the Givonim were caught in the crossfire. We learned about that way back in Yevamos. So they demanded that they being cool people, they demanded that seven of them were killed. They wanted seven of Shaul's descendants to be handed over to them that they can kill them. And that's how they'll be appeased. And David had no choice because there was a famine going on. He'd been told by the Urim Batumim that it's because of the way Shaul treated the Givonim, so he had no choice but to go along with whatever the Givonim wants. Otherwise, the Givonim are still going to be angry, and the Eibishter is still going to continue the drought, and the whole Jewish people are going to be in danger.
So that was because of the Givonim.
David asked the Urim Batumim, and he told, "I'll Shaul, they'll be Sadomim, I'll Shaim, it's the Givonim." Yeah. Yeah, so the Gemara just says that the Gemara just says over there in Yevamos that what it was is no Givonim were actually killed, but because Shaul wiped out the city of Noiv and the Givonim worked over there, therefore they all lost their panos. The Medrash puts it a little differently, that the seven of them were actually killed in the crossfire over there when Doeg and Shaul's orders was wiping out all the Kohanim, then seven of the Givonim got killed as well. Anyway, the pasuk says that the Givonim demand v'hoikanum l'Hashem to give us Torah b'chir Hashem. We want to hoikanum them in. Which again, we're trying to figure out what the word hoika means. We want to hoika them on the hill of Shol, the chosen one of Hashem. So far from that, we don't know what hoika means. Baruch Tiv. Then a few pesukim later, it describes batikach ritzva. The bodies were left hanging there for several months. Now, Rashi brings from the Gemara, from that same Gemara in Yevamos, usually you're not allowed to do that. They have to be buried the same day, as we'll learn in the sixth paragraph. This was an exception. They did it in order to make a Kiddush Hashem. This way, people pass by, they'll realize that, look, even you mess with the Givonim, with the quasi-Gerim over there, and still the Eved still looks out for them.
Gerim
Gurim. Gerim Gurim, as we, yeah. Okay.
What is the name? Little Kanim Hashem. What's Hashem got to do? What are they doing?
I don't know. The Givonim are claiming that this is how Hashem will show Hashem that we're appeased about what Shaul did, and he'll understand.
And Hashem was told they have their.
Yeah, that Hashem is looking out. So
that's just because they weren't even doing it.
Yeah. Okay. New. No. Okay, so then the pasuk says, "Vatikach Ritzba bat Aya as a sack." It says Ritzba bat Aya, who was a pilegish of Shaul, and she was the mother of some of these seven victims. She took a sack, vatateolor latzur betchilas kotzer. She made it like as a lean-to on a rock until at the beginning of the harvest, until the rainy season when they finally took the bodies down. The point is, she made it for herself like a lean-to to stay over there and guard the bodies, so like they don't get pecked apart by birds or whatever. The point is, it has to therefore be hanging. If we're talking about a hoika with any other kind of death, then the bodies would be in the ground or whatever. Hoika obviously has to mean the bodies are hanging over there, exposed to the elements and to the birds and whatnot, and therefore we're saying that she was there to protect them.
All the seven or just...
All seven, yeah. So therefore we see that the word hoika means hanging. Yeah. Uchtiv, now going back to the pasuk we quoted before, v'hoika isa ma'ashem negen ha'shamash, from Parshas Bala. Going back to that, the pasuk says the previous part of that pasuk, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, kachas kol roshei ha'am." The Eved tells Moshe, "Take all the heads of the people." You got to ask, what do you mean? Im ha'am chotu, roshei ha'am machotu. What do you mean? The people sinned. The heads of the people didn't sin. Why? The pasuk makes it sound as though you should take them and string them up. Obviously, that can't be what it means. The Medrash talks about that the opinion that maybe it does because they should have protested, but whatever. Our Gemara is not taking that. Amr of Yehuda Amr Rav, no, it means Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Chalek Lahen Bote Dinu. It means the Eibishter tells Moshe, don't just have one Beis Din to judge all of the offenders. Divide up the heads of the people, the leaders of the people, into many smaller Bote Dinim of 23 each in order to judge the offenders. Why is that? Rashi says the idea is because that way the Eibishter will see we're not just delegating it to one Sanhedrin and everybody else is staying out of it. Like this, the Eibishter sees that everybody is concerned and everybody is dealing with it, and that'll take away the Eibishter's anger, like if there was a plague going on. The Yad Ramah says differently also, like this way you're able to execute all the offenders, all the ones who were over the Zara factor, and that way once the Rishoyim are dealt with, then the Eibishter's anger will go away. Whatever, the point is, that's what it means. Kachas kol Rosh Ha'am means don't just get together the Beis Din of 70, the Sanhedrin Gerla, get together all the Rosh Ha'am, divide them into Bate Dinim of 23, and let them start judging the people. Okay, so the question is, why do we need so many different Bate Dinim? My time, Ilema Meshum Chain Dun Shnayim V'Yemechad, is it just because there's a Din that you're not allowed to judge, that a Beis Din is not allowed to judge two cases of Dinim Nefashos on one day? But didn't Rav Chista said, but Rav Chista said, we'll have it later on, again in the sixth parak, that this only applies if they're judging them with two different misses, because then each one, you need to find separate grounds to convict them. So then like this, if you have two of them at the same time, you might feel you're going to get confused, you're not going to be able to think in carefully enough to what are the various grounds. But if it's all one missa, then and one avera, you can judge more than one at a time. So therefore, so over here, all of them, the problem is they're over the Avodah Zarah, because that's what they're being Chayiv Misa for. They're not being Chayiv Misa for consorting with the daughters of Moav and Midian over there, because that's not something that you Chayiv Misa. That's only Kanoim Pogim Boy, as we'll learn later on in the Masechta.
So whatever,
they're worshipping Avodah Zarah, they're worshipping Par. So that makes them Chayiv Misa by Skila. So according to this, according to what Rav Chista is saying, they should be able, one Beis Din should be able to get all the defendants together and be done them one after the other. Ella, no, the reason why you must have many Bote Dinim, Kadesh Yashav Charon Ach Yisrael, in order that the Eibishter's anger should be averted away from the Jewish people, again, like Rashi says, because the Eibishter will see that everybody is involved with it, or like the Ramah says, that way you can get rid of that way you can execute these people faster and get it over with. whatever the case.
What was the crime of the people that they hanged for the Givonim?
The people that was they wanted it. They were cool people. The Givonim, they wanted it as an eye for an eye kind of thing.
Right,
like Shaul killed us. How did they choose those seven? We learned in Yevamos that they made them walk in front of the Oren, and whoever got stopped in their tracks was one of the seven. Okay. Anyway, the point is, we see from that hoika means hanging, and we understand now what it meant when the Eibishter says to Moshe, kachas kol roshei ha'am, doesn't mean that you're hanging the leaders. It means that you're getting the leaders together to serve as batidinim in order to give skila and hanging to the offenders, the people who worship her. And that's what it is. Yeah, and that's lifnei Hashemesh. It should also be done in front of the sun, meaning by day.
They
had to have asura, yeah. You have to have the asura to be b'chayiv misa, sure. Then we said, Dinim Mominus Gomin Boba Yom Cholo. We said in the Mishnah that another difference between Dinim Mominus and Dinim Nefashis is Dinim Mominus, you can finish off, you can do the discussion and the verdict all on one day. Dinim Nefashis, you have to have the verdict is held over for the next day. Minahanimili, where do we know that from? Amar Rav Chanina, Do Amakra, because you have a pasuk. Amar Rav Chanina says on the side, Do Amakra, because you have a pasuk in Yeshaya that says in the Torah of Shabbos Chazon, Maleasi Mishpat. Look at what happened to Yerushalayim. It used to be full of justice. Tzedek Yolinba, righteousness would stay overnight by it. Tzedek, we're darshining Meloshin, the lahatik in order to make the guy, in order to be able to declare the guy innocent. Yolinba, it has to be kept overnight. Because that's the idea. In other words, you have to, like we said when we learned the Mishnah, that the reason behind this is that this way, that overnight, they can sleep on it and maybe find reasons to exonerate him. So therefore, tzedek yolinba, so for the sake of tzedek, for the sake of making him righteous and exonerating him, yolinba, they used to hold it over overnight, and now they're murderers, meaning now they don't do that, now they're not, they're giving the verdict on the same day. That's the equivalent of murdatskim, because they're not doing it properly. So we see from that it's supposed to be held overnight. Rava says you can learn it from a different pasuk in that same chapter in Yeshaya, also part of that same Haftarah. The Eivishter tells, the Navi tells in the Eivishter's name, he says what you need to do is Ashru Chomoitz. So what does that mean? Ashru, he explains, means Ashru, Meloshon Ashrei, praise, Dayan Shemachametes Dinoi. Chomoitz, Rava's understanding, is Meloshon Chomoitz. The dough sticks around for a while and it becomes chomet. You leave it, so you delay it for a while and it becomes chomet. Ashru chomet, therefore, ashru dayan shemachamet is dinoi. Praise and uphold the dayan who's machamet, who lets the din ferment. In other words, again, who leaves it overnight and then comes to a verdict the next day.
Discussing it together with that night, or they discuss? So
we're going to learn later on, yes, that they do. They get together and they get together in pairs the dayanim and they discuss it during the night. Yeah, but the point is they have to leave it overnight so that they can have that discussion in the evening and so that they can sleep on it. Yeah. Okay. The idach. Okay. Why doesn't Rav Chama Bar Chanina use that pasuk Ashru Chomet? Why does he have to learn it from Tzedek Yolin Bov Atmaratskin? He says, because the passage says, Ashru Chomot V'loi Chomet. He says that no, the word Ashru Chomot comes to teach us a different din. It comes to teach us, the word Chomot means the one who was wrong. Chomot and Chomet can also be not just Meloshon Chomet, they can also be Meloshon Chomos, like robbery or violence or whatever. Chomot would be the one to whom the violence or the robbery was done. Chomet would mean the one who did it. The perpetrator.
Right.
So what does that mean? Rashi says like this. We learned in Bava Kamma a concept like this. Sometimes you can have a case that two people are making counterclaims and counterclaims one against the other. Let's say, for example, Reuven brings Shimon to Beis Din. I lent you money. You haven't paid. Pay up. Shimon counterclaims and says, yes, but I gave you a mashkin and it got damaged or whatever. So therefore, so you owe me for that, or at least you should deduct that from that amount. So what does it mean, therefore? We consider Reuven, who definitely lent the money, is the chomeitz. He's the one who definitely has been wronged. He lent $100 and he hasn't received it back yet. Therefore, what it means is deal with his argument first. Tell Shimon, fine, on the basis of Reuven is claiming that you owe him the $100. He has Adam, he has a shtar, whatever. You're not denying it or whatever. Pay up. Afterwards, we'll deal with the fact that you're saying you have a mashkin, that you gave him a mashkin and got damaged or whatever. So we learn that concept from it. Tosfos discusses it a little bit, and some other Rishonim also discuss it about the pros and cons. I mean, would you really do that? Would you be matriach based into to go through the whole case twice? No, you could. You, well, you could. You could say, for example, fine, let's first deal with what you say about the Mashkin, and if what you're saying with the Mashkin is correct, then you won't owe the money. Okay, but the Mashkin is also a preliminary fact. Anyway, Tosfos understands differently. Tosfos brings a couple of different other explanations. One of them is from the Riva that says that it just means that you listen to the Edim of the Teveya first. Anyway, the point is, Reb Chama, Reb Chanina says that's what you learn from the words Ashru Chamot. Therefore, you don't have that pasuk available to teach us this that you are trying to learn the idea that dinin nefashos have to be kept overnight. The idach. What about Rava? Hi, Malaya.
Today, the pasuk can have two different meanings.
A pasuk can have two different meanings on different levels of Torah, Pshat, Remez, Drush, Soid, etc. But not that you're going to learn two halachas from one. Not that you're going to learn two halachas from one pasuk. Unless you have extra words or extra phrases or whatever in the pasuk. The idach, what would Rava say? Hi, Malayasi Mishpat, my avodah. What does Rava do with the pasuk Malayasi Mishpat? Tzedek Yolin Babatim Ratzim. He says, Kid Rabbi Lazar. He says, no, you learn a different thing from it. What Rabbi Lazar? Kid Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. What Rabbi Lazar says in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Da Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Kol Tainis Shemalinin Vayasat Tzedakah. Like when they had a Tainis Tzibur in those days, The minhag was that the night after the fast, the aniyim need to be able to break their fast. So they would make a regular practice of they would give out tzedakah to the aniyim, so they have what to break their fast with. They would give them food, as the Gemara is going to say in a second. So like this, any tainis shemalinin b'risat tzedakah, that you leave the tzedakah to be overnight, in other words, you only distribute it the next morning, kilu shayfach damim, it's like you're spilling blood, because like this, the aniyim were expecting they're going to get food to break their fast, and like this, they have nothing. So there's
that's
1 second. Shenema, m'layasi mishpat, as the pasuk says, that Yerushalayim used to be full of right, you used to be full of justice, tzedek yolin ba. Meaning, in other words, that if tzedek yolin ba, if you let the tzedakah remain overnight, ba'atamaratzchim, then you're considered now murderers. So we see it's an injustice, right? So in other words, we learn that from the pasuk. The din that the tzedakah has to be given out immediately as soon as the tainus is over. And in fact, the Gemara mentions in the Gemara brings this concept in the Sechta tainus as well. And it mentions over there in Brachas, actually, and it says the idea over there, Agri the Tanis at Tzedakah, the main reward that the Eibishter gives for the fast is because of the Tzedakah that's distributed connection with the Tainis.
What in Brachas is it? We're dealing with you, Belelelech HaTainis.
Belelelech HaTainis means the night after the Tainis.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as soon as the Surah Sakach, the Anim are looking forward to it. Bimyalinu, if they let it overnight and they only distribute it the next morning, Nimtsu Anim Reiv, and it comes out, the poor people are hungry. Shanishan or Akach, because they depended on getting it.
Does that mean the night before the time?
No, I don't think so.
They're worrying because that way they're looking forward to it.
No, I don't think that's what I mean.
That means running up the food immediately.
That's a different question. Okay, whatever. Anyway, we don't have to have a distribution of food. Okay, however, the Gemara says, we don't have to have food distributed to us. We have food at home. However, the Gemara says, "V'hani mila b'drifti v'tamri." This only applies if what's usually distributed is bread or dates, things that are ready to eat right away, and the aniyim can use it to break their fast. Avo bezuzi rifti is bread. Avo bezuzi chiti v'saidi. But if the usual, but if what you were going to be giving out is money or wheat or barley, which anyway are not immediately ready to eat, less than bread, then there's no big deal if you leave it and give it out the next morning, because the aniyim weren't depending on that to break their fast anyway. It's anyway not ready to eat. Okay, so we have two different limudim for this. So here we have an example of what we were discussing yesterday, two different psukim where we learn the concept that dinin nefashos have to be kept overnight. Then we said lefichach ein donin chula. We said because of that, because you have to have this halonah din, therefore you can't judge dinin nefashos on erev Shabbos or erev Yom Tov, because then you wouldn't be able to do halonah din. Because as the Gemara is going to say, you can't finish off the Din Torah and execute the guy on Shabbos. So now the Gemara is going to teach out what the problem is. My timer, what's the reason why you wouldn't be able to judge to start the Din Nefashos on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov? The reason is Mishum Delay Efsher, because there's no way to make it work. Techi Levin, because what are the possibilities? How should we do it? The Dainim Amal Shabbos should we start the case on Erev Shabbos, the Ligmer of the Dinim Amal Shabbos, and finish it off on Erev Shabbos. Can't duma chazu tam l'chayva. Some of the dayanim may find reasons to convict the guy. Ubo l'mevet halonas din. And we just said that you have to have halonas din in that case. Mela, if they find he's all innocent, okay, then they can pastor him and that's that. What if they, if enough of them, if they, if enough of them, if they, if it looks like there could be a majority for conviction, then they're going to need halonas din. So you can't do that. Ludaini Ramala Shabsa Valigmir Bashabsa. So what should you do? Should you judge him on Erev Shabbos, finish off the case the next day on Shabbos itself, Velikdele Bashabsa, and execute him on that day on Shabbos itself? Can't.
You have to execute on the same day.
You have to execute on the same day. That's the, yeah, because otherwise, it's, the Gemara is going to say in a second, otherwise it's called Inu Yadin. Otherwise, it's you're unduly delaying the execution
even
of the
on Shabbos.
Yeah, well, one second. No, that's the point. You can't do it on Shabbos. Ein Ritzicha Deiches Shabbos. Murder, or that is over here, we're talking about executing a person by Beis Din, is not Deiches Shabbos, as we're going to discuss soon in the whole Limud, how we know that. Okay. What about another possibility? How about we'll execute him on Matzah Shabbos? Can't. Neged HaShemesh. And we just said before that the verdict and the execution have to take place Neged HaShemesh, in front of the sun, during the daytime. Okay. How about another possibility? V'ligmir l'din of b'shamsa. Should we say we'll start the trial on Friday? We'll finish it on Shabbos. Which, by the way, Tosfos points out there is a zera d'rabbanan not to judge cases on Shabbos. Tosfos says that primarily applies to Dinin Momenus, though, because they have to write things down. Dinin Nefashos, everything was already written down on Friday once they gave their various reasons, as we said yesterday, their various reasons, the schus or the chayva, it's all written down. There's nothing further being written down at this point. So in principle, that's why the Gemara is taking up the possibility that maybe they could finish the case on Shabbos. Elsewhere, Tosfos talks about a different idea, that's Xeder de Rabbanon. Here we're trying to figure out on a Daraisa level why you can't do it.
It's because the
doesn't matter though. I mean, he's still alive anyway. I mean, that's the point. What do? Is we put him in temporary confinement. We put him in a temporary prison until Sunday. Is what is Lamas son, or what we're gonna have to do. So he's still gonna be alive regardless.
Now, to do a tzicha on Shabbos, to put him to death on Shabbos.
You can't do. As we're gonna learn. Yeah, we're gonna learn soon. There's a pasuk like Sevaru Esh. The pasuk says you shouldn't make a fire on Shabbos, and we're going to explain. Besides the simple meaning, it also means don't make a fire, not a fire, but whatever, to melt lead, to melt lead to do the to do Sefer, as we're going to learn in the sixth parak about how that works. And therefore, that applies to the other misses as well. But you have a positive and a negative mitzvah of the Torah, not two.
There's two
misses, not two. Yeah. An Esser of Shabbos and a Lois Esser of Lois Sevaru Esh. Okay.
The key is we know it's not there for Shabbos.
So that's the point. So what are we going to do? So v'ligmir l'dinim b'Shabbos. So how about maybe you would think what we'll do is fine. We'll start the trial on Friday. We'll finish it off on Shabbos. V'lichtele b'chad b'Shabbos, and then we'll execute him on Sunday. Can't nimtzat ma'ane as dino. Then it means that you're unduly delaying the execution. So it's inui hadin. It's called like this. Rashi says is that until gemar din find hello. Until Gmar Din, fine. The guy is always thinking, you know, hope against hope. They will find me innocent. And once they declare him guilty, though, then you need to execute him as soon as possible, because otherwise, you're the guy's muching zich. Like he already knows he's a dead man walking, and now you're saying, and now you're leaving. Yeah, so you can't do that. How about Nidayne B'mal Shabsa of Enigmer B'chad B'Shabsa? How about another possibility? Maybe let's start the trial on Friday. Fine, we'll break for Shabbos, and then we'll continue on Sunday. The problem with that is minshu tamayu. The problem is that from Friday to Sunday, the dayanim may forget the reasons that they had that they gave on Friday. But afagav the shnei sofri adayanim oimdim lufneim. Now, even though, as we said yesterday, and as we'll learn later on, the two sofri adayanim stand in front of them, the kotzvin diram mazakim diram mechayvin, and they write down each of the dayanim when he says, "I have a reason to convict him on the basis of such and such a pasuk or a drasha or what have you." They write that down. So you'd think in that case, what are they going to forget? It's all written down. No, Nihi de Rapuma Kasvin. It's true that they write down what the Dayanim say with their mouths, but Liba de Inshi. But what's in a person's heart can easily be forgotten. In other words, the Sefer, every person, when he says something, there's always what he says with his mouth, and then there's the thought that he has behind it, the whole mental image that he built up with it. If they ask me such and such a kasha on it, I'll answer such and such. Or you always have, every person that I'm pointing out, how do you have the concept of machloikis in halacha? He says, because inevitably, when you have different people, we all know the famous expression, two Jews, three opinions, but the truth behind it, as the Rambam says, the basic idea behind it is every person has their own mental image their own mental map of the world, and when two people, even if they're given the same facts, they can end up with different conclusions on the basis of those facts. Each person evaluates the weight of those facts and whatever differently. So therefore, so even a Dayan tells the Sefer HaDayanim, my reason for convicting is based on such and such a drasha, but he's not going to be able to express verbally, and the Sefer is not going to be able to write down all the thoughts, all the mental process that went into that, that he's thinking that, and if they ask a kasha such and such, I'll answer to such and such. And I feel that this drasha is more compelling than that one on the basis of such and such. You can't write down such things. And meanwhile, liber de inshi inshi. What a person has in their heart is unique to that person. Well, there's a couple of different ways of explaining. It's funny. The word inshi can mean forgetting, meloshon nosha, kinashani alekimas kalamoli. It can also mean people, the plural of enosh. So liber de inshi inshi can mean what's in the heart. Once it's forgotten, or it can mean what's in a person's heart is unique to that person and can't be written down, or it can mean what's in a person's heart tends to get forgotten after a while. Whatever. Anyway, the point is, so therefore you can't do that. You're not going to be able to start the trial on Friday and be able to continue it on Sunday, and they'll still be in the same place mentally that they were on Friday and be able to pick up from where they left off. They're not going to be able to. Therefore, it's not possible, and therefore that's why the mission is saying you can't start the trial on Friday. What you do is you put him in temporary jail until Sunday, and you start there, and you start the trial on Sunday.
You want to say that the Dayani has to be Masiyak Das and Shabbos, they can't think about it.
It's not even that. Even if they think about it, it's not the same thing as when you're in the thing.
How many times did you think on Monday, what was I thinking on Friday?
Yes. Okay.
And you can't really remember all the
way. Okay. So now the Shlokish asks Rabbi Yochanan a question, which in the course of this discussion, we're going to get into this that we just said a few lines ago, that Mrs. Bastin is not Dercha Shabbos. We're going to discuss that in the course of this discussion. That's why the Gemara is bringing it in over here. So the Shlokish asks Rabbi Yochanan like this. This is, we're talking about Daraisa. This is on the Daraisa level. Omelet of Shlokish Rabbi Yochanan. Why shouldn't it be, if you find a mess mitzvah, why shouldn't it be that the mitzvah of burying him overrides Shabbos, that you should bury him even on Shabbos? And you could make the kavachomer. You should be able to figure this out on the basis of a kavachomer. Which overrides Shabbos, because you bring karbonis, tibur, the tamid, the musaf, whatever are brought even on Shabbos, even though it involves malachas, the raisa, shechting, and then so forth. Nevertheless, kvoras mes mitzvah doichaisa. Nevertheless, burying a mes mitzvah overrides the avoda. In other words, if a kohen is going to do the avoda, but he finds a mes mitzvah, he still breaks off. He still goes and buries the mes mitzvah, even though that's going to prevent him from doing the avoda because it'll become tamei. And we know this. The Gemara interjects with the limud how we know that. Mi v'la'achosai. We learn that concept from the word in the pasuk v'la'achosai. Namely, by a nazir, the Torah says a nazir is not allowed to become tamei mes, and then it mentions four specific relatives: la'aviv, la'imoy, la'achiv, la'achosai. His father, his mother, his brother, and his sister. He can't become tamei. Now, that's all unnecessary in the pasuk. If it said he can't become tamei for anybody, it means those four relatives as well. What's the point of mentioning those? So Kidetanya, the Braisa says, the Braisa goes and darshins each one of them. This is free, and that pasuk goes and darshins. The word Aviv comes to tell us he can't be metame for his father, but he can be metame for a mes mitzvah. The word Le'imai comes to teach us not only if he's just a Nazir, but also if he's a Nazir and a Kohen, where he has a double thing not to become tame mes. Nevertheless, he becomes tame for a mes mitzvah. The third one, Le'achiv, comes to teach us even if he's a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol, And a Kohen Gadol normally doesn't become Tameh even for his relatives. Nevertheless, he becomes Tameh for a mes mitzvah. What about La'achosai? Ma Tamad Loma. What does the word La'achosai come to teach us? Kedetanya. La'aviv la'im la'ach la'achosai ma Tamad Loma. Ha'resha ha'yaholach lushchot es pischai v'lomolos v'doi. Suppose a person is going to shecht his Korban Pesach or to make a bris milah for his son, which are mitzvahs that involve, those are beyond even Nazir and Kohen Gadol, because those are mitzvahs that involve Kores if you don't do them. Rashi, by the way, learns that we're talking about over here someone who's a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol who's going to bring a Kohen Pesach or to make a Bris Milah.
And to make a Bris.
Yeah. Tosfos says it doesn't have to be that. Tosfos says it can be just the Yisrael who's going to make a Milah or a Pesach. Whatever. The point is, those are mitzvahs. Yeah.
So suppose something we learned in the second paragraph that a Kohen Gadol is supposed to cut his hair every week, but he doesn't have to. If he as long as he cuts his, as he's not always working in the Beis Hamikdash anyway. A Kohen Gadol usually only serves in the Beis Hamikdash Yom Kippur. So yeah, conceivably he could be a Nazir. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, suppose somebody, a Kohen Gadol who's a Nazir according to Rashi, or any Yisrael according to Tosfos, is going to shech this Korban Pesach or to make a Bris Milah for his son. Usually okay, but not necessarily. He can live anywhere in Yerushalayim. V'shamash ames loymes. Now, on the way, he hears that one of his relatives died. We learned this in Nazir. Yachol yitame. You would think that maybe he should be allowed to become tame. Amar to lo yitame. No, you say he's not allowed to become tame because either because he's a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol, or just because he's involved in a mitzvah shechayav and alar koris to go bring a Korban Pesach or to make a bris milah. Next, Yochol Kashem Shein Matam Alachoy said, but you would think though that in that case, just as he cannot become Tomei if his sister died, Kach Ein Matam Alames Mitzvah, you would think by the same logic maybe he shouldn't become Tomei for a Mes Mitzvah in that scenario. No, Tam Alayim of Alachoy said. Therefore, the Pasuk specifically mentions his sister. Meaning, Alachoy said, who Dein Matam, only for his sister or any other relative would he not become Tomei. Av Matam Alames Mitzvah. But he can become Tomei for a Mes Mitzvah even if he's a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol and going to do a Pesach or a Milah. Nevertheless, all that is set aside because of Mes Mitzvah. Okay, so now returning to the Kavah Chomer that Rish Lakish was starting, he said, he started the Kavah Chomer as follows. Madach, the Avoida in the Mes Mitzvah is Doicha Shabbos, and yet a Mes Mitzvah is Doicha the Avoida, as we just established, that a Mes Mitzvah is Doicha even things like bringing a Korban Pesach. Well, in that case, Shabbos should Nidchis with Ne'avoida. In that case, we should figure then, Shabbos, which is evidently lenient enough that it can be pushed aside in favor of the avoda in the Mes Mitzvah, and it didn't should take worse Mes Mitzvah Deuchoisa. So on the face of it, Mes Mitzvah is even stronger than that, so that should be Deucho Shabbos. That's the Kavah Chomer that Rish Lakish is asking. So why tack it up? The fact is, we know the din is if you find a Mes Mitzvah on Shabbos, you don't bury him on Shabbos. Why not? This Kavah Chomer should tell us that you do. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan answers him, and this is why we're bringing this Gemara in over here, Ritzicha Techiach. You can disprove that Kavah Chomer on the basis of look at the case of Ritzicha. Again, meaning Misas Beistin. Should Doiches HaAvoida ve'en Doiches HaShabbos. Misas Beistin overrides the Avoida. In the sense, Rashi says, the Pasuk says, Me'im Mizah v'chiyazid ish, if a person killed somebody deliberately, Me'im Mizah v'chitakachenu lomus. You should take him away even from next to my Mizbech. You should take him away to die. What does that mean? Rashi says, if you have a Kohen who killed somebody, B'mezid, so it's Chayiv Misa, and he now wants to go into the Beis Hamikdash and do the Avoda, we say you don't do that. Don't go do the Avoda. Instead, we'll schlep you off to Beis Din and judge you. Now, Rashi does add a detail that if he's actually in the middle of doing the Avoda, then you allow him to complete the Avoda he's doing. Mind you, according to the way the Magid Mishnah understands the Rambam disagrees even with that. But whatever, the point is that we see that and Tosfos adds the detail, even if, let's say, what if there's no other Kohen available to do the Avodah? So it means if you execute this Kohen, that particular Avodah is never going to get done. Doesn't matter. Nevertheless, Ritzicha overrides Avodah.
Have a trial and that's right.
Yeah, of course he needs a trial. Of course he needs a trial. He needs the whole 9 yards. Yeah, of course.
He had everything and then he ran away?
Yeah. No. We're talking about there wasn't a trial yet. No, he did the Ritzicha. There was Edim Vahasra. He did the Ritzicha. Now, before they had a chance to take him to Beis Din for the trial, he's running off to the Beis Mikdash. I have a voida to do.
This continues to be a guilty.
Well, fine. He's okay, but nevertheless, we have to still take him to Beis Din and try him. And if it turns out that he's guilty, we have to execute him.
So,
yeah, when you bury him, you become Tameh, yeah. No, it doesn't. No. No, but it's not Mes Mitzvah Kana Makoma anyway. Where you find a Mes Mitzvah is where you bury it.
Rabbi Akiva,
yeah.
When Rabbi Akiva carried the mace, and then his teacher said to him
that every step that you took was like Shvichas Damim because you're supposed to bury him where he is. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so Ritzicha is Doicha Avoda. The Eina Doicha is a Shem. That's a story in a Medrash.
The guy is not buried in a cemetery. He wants to bury in a cemetery.
The basic concept is called Mes Mitzvah Kana Makoma, that a Mes Mitzvah, he acquired the place where he died and you bury him over there. Unless it's in somebody's field or whatever. I mean, there are details in it. There are certain cases. No. The fact that he died there means, yeah.
Like now they have the bicycles or like it shows like yeah. A road where a person died.
Okay, new onward. Okay.
Yeah,
so, look at Ritzicha, look at executing a person in Beis Din. That is Doche Avoida, because even if a Kohen is on his way to do the Avoida, you still take him and execute him. But it's not. But Ritzicha is not Doche Shabbos. So therefore, by the same logic, because you don't execute a person on Shabbos. So therefore, you see, in that sense, Shabbos is stronger than Ritzicha. So by the same logic, even though, yes, Shabbos is weaker than Avoida, and therefore you're arguing it should be weaker than Mes Mitzvah, but you see, on the other hand, it's stronger than Ritzicha, and Ritzicha is stronger than Avoida. So on the other hand, it's not Dosha Mes. So on the other hand, Mes Mitzvah is not Dosha Shabbos. Well, it's a, okay. But, okay. Rish Lakish continues the question. Fine, Ritzicha Gupa Tidchet Shabbos Mekavachomer. Fine, in that case, where are you getting that Ritzicha should not be Dosha Shabbos? Maybe Taka executing a person in Beis Din should be done even on Shabbos. Maybe based on another Kavachomer. Ma Avoida Shadochet Shabbos Ritzicha Dochoisa. Ma Doch Avoida, which overrides Shabbos, because again, you do the Avoida and the Mesmithish even on Shabbos. And Ritzicha overrides the Avoida. Shanema, as the Pasuk says that we just quoted, Mi'im Mizbachita Kochenu Lamut. So you take him from even next to the Beis Din before you can do the Avoida. You take him away to be executed. Shabbos Shanitchis with Ne'avoida. So Shabbos, which gets overridden by the Avoida. Ain't a Dinchite Ritzicha Dochoisa. Shouldn't it be a Kavachomer then that Ritzicha, that being executed by Beis Din, should take place even on Shabbos?
Okay.
Okay, so Taka, how do we know not? Omar Rava kva paska Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. No, the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel already established that that's not the case. That Ritzicha is not Deucha Shabbos. Even though we have a Kavachomer that should tell us it does, but we have a limud from a Pasuk that teaches us different. Namely, the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, they taught, when the Pasuk says, Lo Sivaru Esh, Matam Abloimer, when the Pasuk says you shouldn't burn a fire in your Bechomer Shveseichem on Shabbos, Matam Abloimer. What is the Pasuk coming to teach us? So we want to interject. What do you mean, Matam Abloimer? We know what it's Matam Abloimer. There's Machloikas Tanoim, either Rabbi Yossi Lelav Yoptas, either Rabbi Nasa Machalik Yoptas. We know Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nasan have two different limudim that they learn from this. What words Lo Sivaru Esh comes to teach us? According to Rabbi Yossi, the words Lo Sivaru Esh come to teach us, unlike all the other 38 malachas of Shabbos, where a person is chayav kares or skila with burning a fire on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yossi, that's the exception. You're only chayav for a lav. You would only be chayav malchus. There's no kares, no skila.
Coming up is
where there's money involved. No. If a person lights a fire on Shabbos, Rabbi Yossi is saying, now unlike if a person rode on Shabbos or carried or what have you, he'd be chayiv miser if there was Eidim Basra, or Koris if there wasn't Eidim Basra and it was bemated. Rabbi Yossi is saying that when it comes to making a fire on Shabbos, that's the exception. You're only chayiv malchus. He says that's why the Pasuk is singling out Lo Sivaru Esh from among all the other malachas to teach us that was an exception to the rule.
He says that's why it's
listed separately, Lo Sivaru Esh, to teach us that unlike all the other ones where Mechal Aleihem Lo Yumos, where Yechayev Misa, this one is taken out as an exception. It's Yotzim and Aklal, and therefore it teaches us that it comes to teach us that it's unlike all the other ones in that there's only a lot. Rav Nosson says that the Lo Sivaru Esh comes to teach us it's Lo Lamed Al Atma Yotza Elo Lamed Al Klal Kulo Yotza. So this is an example of that midah, that when it's separated out and listed separately, it's not just to teach us something unique about Havara, it's to teach us something equally about all the other malachas. Each of the other malachas is something distinct in the sense of, what if you had, for example, a person, let's say, didn't know that it was Shabbos, and he, a person, for example, a person knew that it was Shabbos, but he didn't know what malachas are asur. He winds up doing a number of malachas, and it's all behel mechad. He'll be chayav of multiple chatois, which if you didn't have this with this Lo Sivaru Esh, you wouldn't know that. You would think you're just chayav of one chatois for breaking Shabbos, regardless. So Rav Nosson says, so either according to Rav Yossi or according to Rav Nosson, we have something that we're learning from Lo Sivaru Esh. So what is Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel asking? What are we learning from Lo Sivaru Esh? We already know what we learned from that. Lalav or Lachalik. Now, Ela Omar Rava. So Rava says, no, that's, by the way, the Maharal in Gurauya and Chumash gives an interesting reason. What's the logic according to Rav Yossi that Havara should be unique among all the other malachas, that you shouldn't be chayav misa for it? He says because Havara is the most natural of the malachas. It's something that can happen spontaneously, even. So therefore, there's reason
that's
to...
That's a svara.
But that's a svara. Well, he learns it from the pasuk by svara esh. But he would say, what's the underlying reason why according to him, taka, the Eidishter is saying in the Torah, that oh, for that you're not chayav misa, would be because it's the most natural of the 39 malachim. Okay, anyway, that's a side thing. Okay, Ela Amar Rav, a tonim a shavus kashalei. No, the Tana of Tanit Vereb Shmuel, he's not asking why it says Lesavaru Esh. He's asking why the pasuk continues B'chol Moshvei Seichen. The problem is Moshavus Matam Adlaimer. The question is, why is the pasuk saying that you should not burn a fire B'chol Moshvei Seichen? Because usually the word Moshvei Seichen means in your dwelling places, meaning in Eretz Yisrael. But the problem with that is Mechti Shabbos Chovas Agufi. Shabbos is not something that has to do with the land. It's a mitzvah that applies to a person himself. And the rule we know in halacha is that a Chovas Aguf, a mitzvah that's an obligation on the person himself, as opposed to the land, like Truma or Meiser or Shmita or what have you, is Noyig Bein Ba'aretz Bein B'chutz La'aretz. It's Noyig anywhere in the world. So, Moshavos Tekasa Rahman Olamali. So therefore, the question is not why does it say Lesevaru Esh, but why does it say B'chol Moshvei Seichem, which would make you incorrectly think that it means that it applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar Talmud Ahad. So therefore, one Talmud said in the name of
only in your dwelling.
Yeah, well, it didn't have to say B'chol Moshvei Seichem at all. It could have just said Lesevaru Esh, B'yam HaShabbos. Yeah. So Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar Talmud Ahad. So in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, one of the Talmudim said as follows. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that that's your mayor. Because originally he learned by Rabbi Akiva, and then by Rabbi Shmuel, and then he went back to learn by Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, so he said the following in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. The reason why it has to say Moshavos is like this. Lefisha Nema, because you have a different pasuk that talks about Mrs. Baskin. It says, if a person commits an Aveda, which makes him liable to the death penalty, and he's put to death, so based on that pasuk, Shemeani ben Mechel ben Moshavos, you would think, that pasuk means, regardless whether they can execute him on a weekday or on Shabbos. So you would argue that in that case, what about the pasuk that says you're not allowed to break Shabbos? And Mrs. Basin involves Malachas. Tosfos talks on Amud Aleph. He says that when it comes to Srefa, we know there's the heating up the lead. That's one of the 39 Malachas, the visual. And the other ones also
Vishal.
It's Malacha Vishal. And as far as the other ones, as far as Skila and then Hereg and Chenek, they all involve, Tosfos says, they're not considered Mekalkel. It's not considered that Mekalkel is also Midrabanan, but here we're talking on a Daraisa level, but it's accomplishing a kapara for the guy, and therefore we can't consider that killing is one of the 39 Malachas. Shoichet is one of the 39 Malachas. But ordinarily, if you just kill for a destructive purpose, you'd tackle the potter on the daraisa level. But here, you're not doing it for a destructive purpose. You're doing it in order to make a kapara for the guy. Therefore, it would be a malacha. So you would argue then that when the pasuk says you put a person to death, means on weekday or on Shabbos, what about mechalalei moisturmos? That would mean b'sham malachos chutz mimisas beistin. You would say, okay, that means anything else other than mrs. beistin, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. But you could argue maybe the other way around. Maybe the pasuk means that even Mrs. Beistin would be breaking Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Umani makayim v'humos b'chol avalei b'Shabbos. And then what would you do with the pasuk v'humos that you put him to death? Means davka on a weekday. Because that's what we have to ask. What does mechalalei moisturmos mean? Does it mean across the board anything that involves chilul Shabbos you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, including Mrs. Basin, or maybe not? Maybe on the one hand you have a pasuk v'humos that you put him to death, which implies regardless weekday or Shabbos. On the other hand, mechalalei moisturmos tells you that you can't break Shabbos. So which one wins out over the other? Umani mekayim v'humos b'chol avalei b'Shabbos. So then you would argue that what do you do with the pasuk v'humos? That would mean you only put him to death on weekday, not on Shabbos. Oh yeah, now after the Shabbos, but maybe not. Maybe it means on Shabbos also. You can go back and forth like that. You need something to break the tie. Talmud loymar lo sevaru esh b'chol moshvei seichem. That is why the pasuk says not just it says the word lo sevaru esh, but it continues b'chol moshvei seichem, which we ask why it means to say moshavos if Shabbos applies everywhere in the world. It's like this: we use the word moshvei seichem for gzeira shava. Because in Parshas Maaseh, when it discusses the whole concept of putting a Ritzeach to death, it says, and it uses the same word, which teaches us, therefore, Gzeira Shava, Ma Moshavos HaOmel HaLan Beis Din, just like the word Moshavos over there means the Beis Din,
That's about what?
That's about putting a Ritzeach to death. So therefore, the word Meshavah there teaches us that this is accomplished in Beis Din. Af Meshavah, so Amokan Beis Din, the same way, when it says, Le'sevaru Esh B'chol Meshvei Seichem, it means in all of your Bate Dinim. And the Torah is saying, don't make a fire in all of your Meshavahs. So there we go. That breaks the deadlock, and that's what tells us that Ritzicha is not Deicha Shabbos. So once we have that, then so once we have that, you can't make a kavachomer that we tried to make earlier on the Omud, that you can't make a kavachomer that say that maybe Ritzicha should be Deicha Shabbos on the basis of that Ritzicha is Deicha Avodah and Avodah is Deicha Shabbos, because we have a pasuk telling us otherwise. That breaks up that kavachomer. So once we establish that, once we establish that Ritzicha is not Deicha Shabbos either, then we can use that to break up Rish Lakish's original Kavachomer, where he thought to say that burying a mes mitzvah is Deicha Shabbos. Because we have, against that, we have, on the one hand, Avoida is Deicha Shabbos, and on the one hand, Avoida is Deicha Shabbos, but mes mitzvah is Deicha Avoida, which means mes mitzvah should be higher than Shabbos. On the other hand, Ritzicha is Deicha Avoida, and Avoida is Deicha Shabbos, which makes Ritzicha higher than Shabbos. So therefore, not necessarily can you say that Shabbos is the highest thing.
And this is coming to...
So therefore, that's where we are at this point, but we're not going to slug it up, but we're going to continue the discussion tomorrow and see whether there's what other kavachomers can we try to make over here. We're going to start by saying, maybe Taka, you shouldn't say, if a Kohen is about to do the Avodah, or in the middle of doing the Avodah, you should take him away and execute him. Maybe Taka not. Maybe make a different kavachomer based on what we know so far. Just say Taka not. That we'll deal with tomorrow.
Okay.